I need 3 volunteers. So much. Oh, look, Tim will be brilliant. Let's go, Tim. I need some other enthusiastic people like... Come down the front, Tim. Okay. I think Janelle might have to come and help me since she was trying really hard to volunteer Paul. Ha, ha, ha. That might have been a little bit evil. And I need another volunteer or two. Adrian, are you an overactor or are you embarrassed? Now, I know Sarah's an overactor, and that could be pretty helpful. Darren's definitely an overactor, but nobody wants to see him anymore. Sarah, can you come up here because you'll play along? Okay, we should definitely pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Father, you've given us so many great things. Father, thank you for the last couple of days worth of rain, Lord. It is such a blessing. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you that we can gather here as your people in your presence. Lord, I want to thank you for those who are here in the room, those who are in the overflow, and those who are watching online. Lord, I just pray that you will bless us as we gather today, Lord. I pray for our volunteers this morning as well. I want to thank you for their enthusiasm to come and help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now, everybody loves a good prop. Now, I have some readings to do. So, you can start. It's big print. It's big print. Okay, now, here's a microphone somewhere. That should be Deborah's microphone, Marianne. Big voice.
Hello.
Yay. Reading from Luke 2.
Luke 2, 1 to 20.
I think you guys have to come this way a little bit to be on the camera. Is that right, Dan? We were good. Okay.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests."
When the angels had left them and got into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Out of it that easy. So, can I have those back? Now, you guys are shepherds. So you guys get to get in character.
Woo!
So, how are you feeling, Janelle?
I just said I didn't have time to grow.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
This is definitely me. This is me.
I sort of grew one for you. So, now, I even have... Now, Sarah, you can tell me whether they match or not. So, hopefully they won't.
This is definitely my vibe.
The other way around. Yes, there you go. Which hat would you like? So you get to wear a hat and be in the fields by night. Now... Now, it's worth it just for the laughs. I don't know about anyone else, but... Okay, can you guys shuffle over this way a little bit? Now, if you get in the right place over here, and you look this way, there's a big screen here on the live stream. Is that about there, Dan? La! You can't see it, but you can see it up there. So, you guys are shepherds in the fields at night looking after the sheep, okay? Now... You guys can just entertain yourselves. What did you guys do as shepherds? We might need some help from the peanut gallery. What did you guys do as shepherds? What do you do?
Looking after our sheep.
Very good. Very good. What sort of work is it?
Long, hard work, not much sleep. You have to sleep in rounds because you've got to keep your eye on the sheep.
Yes, that's right. And sheep are...
Dumb.
Really, really dumb. That's right. So, now, where do you live? You live...
In Warwick.
You're shepherds. You live in the hills, steep hills, desert, just outside. It's hard to get good help. Like you didn't get Darren or Peter. Now... Okay, Bethlehem. You're a couple of kilometres out of Bethlehem, in a similar area actually to probably where King David would have looked after his sheep. You know, bears, lions, pretty scary stuff. You're possibly breeding sheep for the temple, but we don't know that for sure. Now, Israel is a Mediterranean climate, which means lovely, dry, burning hot, 40 plus degree summers, and miserable, cold, soggy, wet winters. So, it probably wasn't the middle of winter because you'd have been snowed on, but somewhere around there, it's probably cool, cold nights because it's deserty. So, what else do we know about shepherds?
They like to get up in ridiculous clothes.
Yes, they do. Well, they were probably lower class people, so you really should step down a few steps. Now, I don't see much justification for them actually being considered outcasts, but they were definitely smelly and dirty and not particularly well-educated, but well enough to read the screed. So, likely Jewish men, but considered unclean by the standards of the law. Okay. That nice beard. Well done. Okay. Now, I'm going to get some extra help. Now, you guys, close your eyes for a second. I'll have this back. Close your eyes. Again, you guys can just play along at home out there. You are out in the paddock at night. It's dark. You're a couple of kilometres from town, sitting on a rock on the side of a hill, just a regular night on the job. Peaceful, quiet, occasional bar from the occasional lost sheep, or the other guy snoring. Then out of nowhere, blam! Bright light, booming voice, do not be afraid. Is that a bit bright?
It's a bit bright.
Good. Now, do not be afraid was a pretty good place to start. Cold, dark night, really bright light, can't see, not sure. The terror and the shepherds were blinded.
Yes.
They were... Was your reading?
Oh, afraid.
They were afraid. They were terrified. Thanks, Mark. You can put the light down now. Please, don't shine it at me. It's too bright for that. Okay. So the shepherds were...
Afraid.
Terrified, yes. Playing along. There you go. Sarah's overacting. There you go. Now, angels... Now, if you look up here, you'll see the pictures, angels. Normally when we look at, we think of angels, we think of something a bit like that, you know? And that's more mild concern rather than terrified.
Yeah.
Mild concern? Okay. Okay, maybe the next one, I think Raphael and the Renaissance artists have something to explain, but angels, not scary. And now pop culture's not much better, although possibly a little more accurate. What comes to mind when you think of angels? For some of our older congregation, it will be these guys. Oh, so good. Look. Lots of laughs. Yes, Michael Landon, that's right. How do you know that? Oh, you're homeschooled, of course. So, okay, now the next one, if you're a Queenslander, you might consider this guy an angel. Oh, the technology's going to catch up. There you go. Look at those wings. That's Jonathan Thurston for you, like, Victorians and stuff. Now, the next one is for the geeks. For the connoisseur geek, we'll recognise that. And this one is actually really scary. I had trouble finding one that wasn't actually scary. Now, you're supposed to be a bit scared now. Yeah, okay. That's a Doctor Who reference if you don't get it. Sarah got it.
I chose not to get it because Doctor Who is...
Okay, it's evil. No, I wouldn't have done that. Okay, so... popular depictions of angels don't quite fit with what the Bible describes. Instead of the gentle, sweet, ethereal, biblical angels tend to be messengers of God brimming with his power. Now, Ezekiel and John describe them more like this one.
There we go.
So, play along, guys. There you go. That's much more terrified.
Yeah.
Or perhaps the next one. That would be... terrifying. Yeah. Okay, now you're getting close. That appeared in the night sky in your dark, peaceful side of a hill sitting on your rock. You'd be a little cry. Yes, yes. Now, Isaiah described them something like this. Next one, which is not much better. And to be fair, these are probably cherubim or seraphim and not angels per se, but let's not overcomplicate things. Let's get excited about the fact that they're angels.
Oh, there's me.
There's you. Oh, there's a picture of you. I didn't see that. So... there are many other examples of angels appearing more like men. So young men dressed in white robes at the tomb after the resurrection, for example. But the people, Mary and the guys that still saw them were still alarmed. So, okay. Small wonder that they had to say, do not be afraid. Right. Most people would be overwhelmed when faced by being these beings who carry a message directly from God himself. Now, I know this is a bit of a jump, but follow me here. I think this whole year has been God communicating a message to us all. And most of us have been pretty overwhelmed by it. Now, the next slide. Does that instill some terror to some people?
No, the colours are quite...
the colours are nice. Okay. My... We'll have to do it again. Yeah, there you go. No. Okay. How about the next one? Is this better? I was told there'd be a hand basket. Okay, that went over the head of most people. So, you guys can actually go and sit down now. You can wear it if you like, but you can take it off. I've actually got, before Tim runs away too far. Here's a lolly for chocolate for you, and you can hold the rest. You're all good. Yeah, definitely have to keep the hat on. So, okay. Now, by no means has the whole of 2020 been bad. You can just take them with you and just give them to people. That'll be...
randomly?
Just randomly. Just people you like. So, not Darren. So, hands up if you've had a great year, 2020. Or pretty good at least. You've had a pretty good year. Okay, hands up if you consider that 2020 has been a bit rough. Who's had a rough year? Now, I put my hand up with that. For most of us, this year has been a bit of a train wreck, at least when we consider and compare it to what we might have expected it to be. We all saw the destruction of the bushfires early in the year, the devastation of the drought. We've heard the stories, or have stories, of holiday plans all messed up. Jobs lost, dinner spilled, families separated, health and hospital visits messed up, trials and tribulations of homeschooling. Not too many families. Sporting events and other special events cancelled or postponed, or just done really differently. And a real shout out to our Year 12 students who had a pretty rough year with study and trying to celebrate under COVID. Darren and Louise, for example, were actually meant to be overseas on long service leave now visiting family. So it's been a bit of a different year for them. And who knows when that might be able to happen again. It took a little while. But there's no guarantee of what next year will look like either. It might not be any different, leaving many people wanting more information and wanting before they commit to it. So plenty of laughs today. We actually get serious eventually, because all this makes a pretty serious reality for some people. What is going to happen next? Well, who knows? Now, you might be sitting there as one of those people who put your hand up early and said, this year's been all right, it's not been that bad. Maybe the media is just blowing it all out of proportion. And you could be right. And I'm not bothered, because I know God's in control and everything will be fine. And you would be right. But it completely dismisses what is genuine fear and anxiety and loneliness that many people have been feeling in the last few months. It dismisses the actual pain and frustration of those who have lost loved ones, who have lost jobs, who have missed births, birthdays, weddings, funerals, missed celebrating those special milestones, and lost opportunities to move forward with your life and family and career. And it dismisses the worry, the uncertainty, and the fear of what the next weeks or months have to offer. When the angel appeared to the shepherd, it looked scary. The shepherds had every right to be concerned, to be worried. But the message the angel brought was not one of fear, but one of good news and great joy. So how do we find great joy in a world full of suffering and fear and just that not knowing? How can we get past the fear ourselves when our own world seems to be falling apart around us, so that we can somehow interact with the world in a positive way? So, personal story time. Yay, my turn to be embarrassed. So, do you know what's a really bad idea? Agreeing to preach a message about joy. Just generically ever, but especially when you've been in a rubbish headspace. But in the last week or so, I've learned something I didn't know because of it. Now, I don't have any real excuse to be a grumble bum. I'm confident in Jesus. I'm married to an amazing lady who loves me for some reason. I've got great kids. I've got great friends. I live in a great place. I've got a great job, etc., etc. I've got everything I need. But knowing that I had to preach on joy this morning was killing me. To be fair, I did work 15 years in retail, and that contained the Christmas joy thing a little bit. Anyone in hospitality? See, Deborah told me that I should wear this shirt today. This has been my Christmas shirt for 15 years. It just says Bar Humbug. I could so be the Grinch. 15 years of retail. Anyone else? Anyone in hospitality? Because that's worse. So, all right. Now, in a serious note, and to be fair, I understand the very real spiritual aspect to this. Now, I appreciate those who pray for me. You do all pray for me, right? I also understand the mental health aspect of this. In a normal year, I'm the one in four people who struggles with mental health. Although statistically, in 2020, it's something like one in two people struggling with mental health. So if that's not you, it's probably the person sitting beside you that is struggling with their mental health in some way or another. So file that away for the conversation later. So this week, though, I let this mess me up and steal my joy. Financial stress, work stress, technical issues, time pressure, health and fitness problems, and that stupid Mariah Carey Christmas song. But my inability to unwind and break free from my to-do list at work and at home, and I've been down, I've been grumpy, I've been cranky, frustrated and annoyed, and even anxious, which is unusual for me. Just ask my family how lovely I've been to live with the last few days. Sorry, guys. I did apologise. But that's just on the outside. It's far worse inside my head, for those who know the movie. I think disgust took over about Friday afternoon. But I realised that it's actually my fear that has been driving me that way. It's not that I'm so much scared of anything, but it's my fear of failure, my fear of under-delivering, my fear of not living up to my own expectations, my fear of looking bad, my fear of failure. Imposter syndrome. Fear that all of you will find out that I'm a fraud, that you'll actually realise that I've been getting away with faking this nice guy pastor Christian thing for years now. Fear of letting others down. Letting God down, fear of letting me down, has caused me frustration, pulled me down, and stolen my joy, while I was too busy self-loathing and self-pitying to notice until it was too late. So what did I learn this week? The opposite of fear is not courage, it's joy. I do need to explain what I mean by joy. Joy is not happiness. Psychology Today defines happiness as an external thing based on situations, events, people, places, things and thoughts. Happiness is future-oriented and it's dependent on outside situations, people or events to align with your expectations so that the end result is your happiness. Your happiness is dependent on what's happening. Joy, though, is an internal thing. It is the deep, abiding, pervasive sense of well-being. It is not conditional on anything or anyone external to ourselves. Theologian G.K. Chesterton wrote that joy is the gigantic secret of the Christian because Jesus is in us. He's our internal. So how do we get this great joy that Angel told us about? There's three things I want to talk about. We find joy when we find our purpose in Him. When we accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour and all that He has done and that He has done all there is to do and we can add nothing to His saving work and that He loves and accepts us anyway. Then we can accept that all the external things that are happening around us will ultimately be used by God for good and for His glory. And then we can stop being worried about things so much. And we no longer need to just let the world get us down because God's got that. We are here where He has placed us. We don't necessarily have to like where we are. We don't necessarily have to stay where we are. But finding our purpose in Jesus as His representative, where we are will grow that deep, abiding, pervasive sense of well-being that is joy. We also find joy when we choose joy. Joy doesn't just happen. That's happiness. Henri Nguyen wrote, "We have to make a conscious choice to find joy and keep choosing and keep choosing and keep choosing." Paul, who had a lot of external things going on that could steal his joy, jail, flogging, stoning, shipwreck and more, he wrote this, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." If we want to keep choosing joy, we must soak constantly in God's word, the Bible, We must pray all the time and be grateful for Jesus and the endless good things that we have around us. Reading the Bible might not actually make you happy. I don't have time. It's too boring or repetitive. I just can't get into it. But soaking in it will bring us joy and maybe ultimately some happiness. Read the Bible, sing, pray, do whatever you have to do to help you choose joy. For me, it makes a huge difference what music I listen to, that sort of subconscious input of good Christian music, of good words of Jesus speaking into my soul like that. And you know what? We're all allowed to have a bad day, as long as we're honest and humble and kind, because it's how we respond, in spite of how we feel, that will affect everyone around us. And that's how we find joy. We find joy when we share joy. Joy won't stick in isolation. Being a follower of Jesus is a team sport. We cannot do it alone. The joy won't stay without others to share it with. Sharing joy with other believers will sustain our joy and help them to choose joy as well. But sharing joy with others can change somebody's life and will definitely grow your joy. A good attitude, a smile, a friendly, positive word could change the life of somebody who is literally at the end of their rope. And that's the good news. That's the point of this whole Advent series and the candles. We have the hope candle. We have hope and trust in Jesus. We have faith in the saving work of Jesus. We have faith in all that he is and all that he's done. And we find that deep soul level joy that we're talking about today. So this is the joy candle. It's a different color. There's probably some purpose in that, but I never quite got the hang of it. But our hope gives us faith. Our faith leads to joy, and joy will lead to peace. Brings peace with our interaction with what's happening in the world around us. That's next week. But others see that joy and see our peace, because it doesn't make sense that way. Then as people go, you're just different. How are you not concerned by this stuff? And that's when we can share the hope that we have in Jesus. And then they might come to faith in the saving work of Jesus. That's the good news message the angel delivered to the shepherds. Verse 11 said, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord. Jesus came. He stepped down from heaven, fully God and fully man. The Saviour, the chosen one, the anointed one, the prophesied one. And he did what only God could do. He lived the perfect, sin-free life in this imperfect train wreck of a world. And he did what we deserve to have to do. That is, he died as punishment for our failure. He died to pay the cost of our sin, so that we could live a life filled with joy and peace and hope, knowing a loving, caring God. What does good news look like to a shepherd? What does good news look like to the poor, to the outcast, to the widow, to the fatherless, to the refugee? What does the good news look like to those who are struggling with their finances, who have lost jobs, who have lost property, who have missed loved ones, those who have fear of the future? Hope. Hope in Jesus. Hope that there is some purpose to this. Next year might be a train wreck too, but God is still doing his thing, and God will be glorified whatever happens. And he will do good in spite of our hopelessness, in spite of our lack of faith and our stolen joy. 2021 is full of amazing possibilities and opportunities. And I sort of want to end today and this year the way we started it. Fresh wind, fresh fire. In January, before most of us had any idea what COVID-19 even was, before it was even called COVID-19, we worked through Elijah. We talked about his ups and downs and how God still chose to use him in spite of his circumstances. And God used Elijah amazingly. It's okay to have ups and downs, but be honest and open with God in prayer and praise, with those closest to us who can encourage us and share their joy with us. Let's get a fresh vision and a fresh fire for what is coming in 2021. And let's face whatever this messed up world has to throw at us with the joy of the Lord planted deeply in our hearts, found only in the good news of Jesus, and show the world that there is a better way, and that better way is Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, thank you, thank you. We are so grateful for Jesus, for coming incarnate as a baby, the most fragile, but Father, the most amazing gift. Father, who grew to be the Jesus, who loved, who cared, who faced everything that we face in life. And Father, faced the cross and died and rose again and saved us. Lord, we can't thank you enough. Father, help us to see that. Help us to choose to see you first. Help us to know you first and choose joy, choose faith, choose hope, and find peace in that. Lord, it is in the name of Jesus that we are saved. It's the name of Jesus that we can face this world of uncertainty, of dilemma, of destruction, of whatever that might be. Father, help us to see the flower. Help us to see the goodness, the baby, the stars. Help us to see what you've done and remember you. Father, help us to know you more so that we may have that joy that overflows, the peace that surpasses all understanding, so that people will find hope and faith in you. Lord, we want to thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the opportunity this week and this month and into next year you brings. Father, I pray you will continue to bless us, continue to show us the way and lead the way and walk with us. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.